Welcome to WOW Reads, a podcast of the Worlds of Words Center of Global Literacies and Literatures. We are committed to creating an international network of people who share the vision of bringing books and children together, thereby opening windows on the world. We encourage thoughtful dialogue around global literature so that children can reflect on their own cultural experiences and connect to the experiences of children across the globe.
Worlds of Words Reading Ambassadors engage in a university experience of children's literature within the University of Arizona College of Education. Reading Ambassadors learn about literature for young people under the direction of faculty and staff with expertise in children's literature, education, library science, and marketing.
We respectfully acknowledge the University of Arizona is on the land and territories of indigenous peoples. Today, Arizona is home to 22 federally recognized tribes, with Tucson being home to the Ootam and the Yaqui. Committed to diversity and inclusion, the university strives to build sustainable relationships with sovereign native nations and indigenous communities through education, offerings, partnerships, and community service.
Dona Barbara Higuera grew up in Central California and now lives in the Pacific Northwest. She has spent her entire life bending folklore with her experiences into stories that fill her imagination. Higuera is an author of El Cucuy is Scared Too, the forthcoming The Yellow Handkerchief, Lupe Wang Won't Dance, a winner of a Pura Belpre Honor PNBA Award, and The Last Mestiza, winner of the Newbery Medal and the Pura Belpre Medal. Her new book is Alubriques. 13-year-old pickpocket Leandro and his sister Gabby do whatever they can to get by in the cruel city of Pocatel, one of the few places left where humans will still survive. In a now barren world, everyone knows that those who venture beyond the walls of the city never return. But when Leandro Lux runs out and he is given an impossible choice, to accept certain death, facing the spirits and worms of the wilderness, or leave his body behind and allow his mind to be encased in an ancient drone. In this form, he can fly in search of freedom, hope, and the truth. Can he hold on to his memories and find a way safely back to his sister and himself?
I don't know. Let's talk about it and see. My name is Rebecca Ballinger. I am the Associate Director at Worlds of Words, and I'm excited to be here with our middle school reading ambassadors. Let's start with a round of introductions.
All right, I'm Gabriel. Fun fact about me, I like pasta. Yay. And green, too.
I'm Nia. A fun fact about me is I guess I'm a cellist, and my favorite color is purple.
My name is Elliot, and I'm on campus. It was by the music center. It was riding a bike downstairs and crashed into a car, so on and so on. I blacked out and stuff. My favorite color is purple.
My name is Lucia. A fact about me is that I like to swim, and my favorite color is teal.
My favorite color is also purple, and I have so many questions for after this podcast. But first, today we got to meet Dona Barbara Higuera at the Tucson Festival of Books. Let's talk about what that was like for you.
Well, I gotta say, it was pretty amazing being there with the author. And it was a Tucson Festival of Books event, so there was a whole lot of people, to say the least. But it was a bit stressful. We got through it.
Yeah, you did a great job.
I thought it was really fun to get to know her. Well, kind of, not exactly know her, but see her in person and get to talk to her face-to-face and kind of have a conversation with her. And through the dialogue, learn more about what she's writing and how she wrote it and her different, like, strategies. And, like, one of the questions was, like, what happened when you found out that you had, like, the Newbery Honor Award? And I thought that was pretty cool to learn about how she learned that out. Like, apparently the people who were giving her the award, like, pranked her, and she was going to talk on Zoom with Barnes and Noble and ended up being the Pura Belpre Honor, like, association and the Newbery Medal people. So that, I thought that was pretty cool.
I enjoyed getting to have some of my questions answered, and I really enjoyed having a conversation with her. And getting to learn about like how she, where she got the ideas to make the characters and the setting of the book. And it was really interesting.
It was really cool to meet her. Like, she was such a nice person. Like, as Gabriel mentioned, like, the room, like, we were all kind of stressed. Like, it was full with new people. But, like, she came in, and, like, she was so kind. And, like, we just started by telling jokes. And, yeah, like, she was so fun and nice. And, yeah, it was cool getting to hear, like, how she came up with the ideas. Like, for Alabrijes, like, she was telling us about how a lot of it is inspired by, like, her ancestors and, like, when they were working as, like, field workers. And, it, like, it was interesting to hear her, like, talk about it because, like, it was interesting to hear, like, how she drew from her own life to do it. And then, like, another interesting thing she was talking about was, like, writing the book was kind of hard for her because she had to, like, make bad stuff happen to the characters. But, like, she said, like, she even cried sometimes. And it was just interesting getting to, like, hear how, like, emotional it was for her.
Yeah, so... So we arrived about 10 minutes early, and she did. She started off making us all at ease by telling jokes. Do you guys remember any of the jokes that were told?
There was, like, why do you have to wear glasses when you're in math class? And it was, like, for the division or something like
that. Division? That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. I think somebody did one against the dinosaur, about a dinosaur, I think.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl?
Oh, yeah, because he can't pee. And I think I made one about yolks.
It was the pee is silent.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she started off making us very comfortable. I did appreciate that, too.
Yeah, we, like, it was exchanging jokes and riddles and, like, everybody's laughing. And we just kind of got to, like, have a moment where you're kind of like at ease and you're not like super stressed about what's going to happen, and then it finally hits you, oh wait, I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yes, and then we get into the conversation and she does take us pretty deep, and she talks about writing these characters and writing the battle scenes, and things got dark. And so how were you guys feeling during that part of the discussion?
It felt like now I was suddenly lent, like, a third eye into the book. It felt as if I knew things that I never knew before, the writing. And some stuff about The Last Quintista. Never read that one.
That'll have to go on your TBR, your to be read.
Yeah.
And when we had her draw the graph, does somebody want to explain the graph?
It was like you standard, she said, basically... she thinks, like, a lot of people think that it's, like, it goes from, like, meh to not good to, like, and it ends really good. She drew it as, like, it started really low, and then it went up, and then it ended, like, from not, she didn't really, like, it was, like, a sad and meh part.
Yeah, so along the bottom of the axis, we had the beginning, middle, and end of the book. And on the up and down axis, we had her favorite up top and her least favorite on bottom. And, yeah, I took a picture. We'll have to share it with – if we can put it up on our podcast feed, we'll do that.
Wait, I just realized something. She said she hates deaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come – well, a bit of a spoiler some guys died in the middle. How come she didn't put those... How come that didn't get a dip?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like, to explain the line, it was kind of like... It started off kind of low, and it stayed kind of straight, and then it went up, and then it stayed up, and then it went up again. And you kind of have, like, a short... It's almost like a straight line at the top that's, like, maybe, like... Like, maybe about, like... four dots long, and then it goes back down, and then it comes back up, and then it kind of goes down again.
So that first down part was the battle scene where people did lose their lives, and Donna said she cried. And in that room, we had asked if people wanted spoilers or not, and we saw a lot of hands that said no spoilers. But I think we might have done a little bit of spoiling that we haven't done yet on this podcast. So we'll stay true to that. What was your favorite parts of the book? Where did you find yourself really engaged?
I thought the, like, we're about to run out of time when, like, pollinating all of these plants that they have kind of, like, made me think, oh, and everybody's working together. It's kind of like a whole team effort. But I also felt, like, during the battle scene, you kind of get to hear, well, like, see and visualize all this different stuff happening from different points of view. I thought that one was really cool, and I kind of like an action scene. So I thought that was kind of like where I thought like the book was kind of reaching a fun spot. But I mean, I don't like characters dying, but I did think the action was pretty cool. So
one of my favorite parts was like some point in the middle of the book, Leandro like runs into the person who like turned him in and fought, like got him banished, and then that person is put in harm's way and like they're almost dying. So, but, like, Leandro, like, he was mad at them, but he doesn't just, like, turn away, like, when they're in, like, harm's way. Like, he actually finds it, like, a way to forgive them, and he helps them, and I don't know. I really like that part where, like, he's able to forgive them. And, like, yeah, it fills me with, like, hope, and I don't know.
I liked when he tried to say when he was just like nice to Tortoise, and like when Tortoise just couldn't quite like was just kind of lost, but also really liked where they were, and he just left Tortoise be, and he even tried to send another one of the characters to like comfort and like try and Tortoise.
Gabriel, where did you engage most with the book?
I think it was after the battle. I wanted to go find out what happened, so that's where I sort of like clicked in with the book and was wondering what happened.
I really loved at the end where all of the bee drones sort of came together. Like the idea that a lot of little bitty droid bots, one of Alebrijes, could come together and have a big impact. And I thought that that was a great life metaphor as well.
It kind of reminds me like my aunt told me about the swifts in Portland, where she lives, like, that all fly into this one chimney, and they are, like, a giant swarm, and they come down to, like, this, like, smaller, like, point so that they can fit. And I thought that was, like, it reminded me kind of that scene in the book, but also, like, when I went to see the bats, and they all, like, flew up in this giant mass, and I thought that was pretty cool.
So one of the questions that we had for Donna going into this was about the translanguaging in the book, inserting the all of the characters' languages. Do any of you want to share your thoughts on translanguaging in this book or just in general?
I think that translanguaging kind of gives you a chance to think, what is this talking about? It also gives you a chance to use more context. Since I don't know this language, maybe I can look and see what it means because of all these context clues. And I thought, I mean, since I went to a bilingual school for, like, 6 years, I thought it was easier for me to, like, know what they're talking about. But I will admit, like, a few spots caught me. Like, oh, I don't really know this word. So I had to, like, pause and think.
Sometimes you read and you don't know the English word either. You have to pause and look it up.
I liked her use of translanguaging because it, like, built a world with more depth because, I like, all of these people would be speaking different languages, and, like, she showed the language, and, like, in for a way, like, the Cascabeles, it was, like, part of their, like, cultural identity, kind of. So, like, it really, like, made, like, the world more deep, and, like, it showed like it was more believable, the world.
Yeah, you knew who the characters were.
You get to see, like, maybe this isn't the language that was first in, or this character, like, has a different background than the rest of them, and you get to learn more about them. But it kind of also reminded me, like, how they were farm workers, and they have, like, their own kind of, like, language that they have because they're immigrants. And the Pocatellans are like the kind of like white people in this understanding, like they're the ones running everything. And the Cascabeles have, like, since they came in and they weren't known, they were the ones put on the bottom. So you kind of get like this restart on history, but you also get a different understanding because you're from the lower side of the, like, social structure scale. So that was pretty interesting because you get, like, another language to tell you more about what's going on in this area because they're from somewhere else. And then from the Pocatellan's point of view, you don't get that, which I thought was pretty nice because you get to see the different, like, if you're used to reading something that has, like, one perspective that's, like, on the higher class, then you get, like, this other one that's on the lower class, and you see how they, the relationship and how they relate to each other and their different things that they do.
Okay, thank you. Any last thoughts? Any final thoughts, Gabriel?
I have a question. All Pocatellans also had classes, right? So, like, the civilians were, like, sort of middle classes, not too distinguishable from Cascabeles. I think it was mostly, like, the emperors, like, the directors that sort of had the higher class.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you reach this point in the world where everybody was equal, right? And then the comet struck, like, from Las Quintista, and you get everything after a few hundreds of years. Everything is back to, like, you get the segregation, kind of. I'm, like, not doing this right. And then you also have, like, the social classes are much different. Like, now we have, like, houseless, kind of, at the bottom. But they still, like, they have their own things going on. And then we have everybody else. And they're kind of, like, there. And we kind of, like, have, like, this thing where we're all kind of at the same level, but it's not like people are lower. Like, houseless and us, we're all kind of in this one thing. And then, let's say, like, the president and everything. We're all humans, so we all have a say in what's going on. But then once we go back, like, it's like when you restart history in the Alebrijes, you have, like, everything has been cut like a layered cake. You have the lower class people, the higher class people, and then, like, the rulers. And I thought that was kind of interesting, like, she came back and, like, showed how history could kind of, like, come back and, like, take over again.
Huge thanks to Donna Barbara Higuera and the Tucson Festival of Books. Thank you to Liam Arias, our sound engineer, Vianney Torres, who keeps us all together. Thank you to the College of Education at the University of Arizona and their tech team. We are recording today in the Digital Innovation and Learning Lab, and we thank Dial as well.